There's a role in life that we all need to take up to some degree. What the role involves is different for every single one of us. But I can confidently state that if we each take up this role and do our part, that we will change the world. It will mean that your life will have an enduring influence that will continue for generations of people to come. The role that I'm speaking of is that of a teacher. This takes many, many forms, and we'll explore some of these this morning. One that might be obvious is one that several people have just gone out to do, to teach groovy, more conventionally referred to as Sunday school, bringing the Bible to life for young people. What a fantastic thing for anybody to be doing. The way that you relate the events of God's word, his nature, and so on, will influence how these children will remember those things for years, decades, or maybe even for their entire lives. A role that is perhaps not so obvious, especially to some, is the teaching role of a parent. I know many of you guys have realized that teaching is a huge part of parenthood and that you take it very seriously. But there are many parents who don't want that role in their children's life. And the results range from being less than ideal to being absolutely disastrous. And some ways that being a teacher that are not very obvious at all might be teaching others to be teachers. Teaching other parents how they can be teachers. At work, teaching other workers how to teach other workers. Because for anything to be perpetuated, you don't just need to teach it, you need to teach others how to teach it. Okay? Very important. For many people, this is not natural. Teaching them how to put themselves in the other person's shoes is a wonderful skill. Most people are full-time thinking about themselves and they haven't got a clue how to see things from another person's perspective. We all know someone like this. If you think of a person that you know that tends to clash a bit with other people, when difficulties arise, they become critical of others. Such and such is really dumb. They don't even know this simple thing. You've probably heard it a million times. You might have said it yourself. Such a person is not willing to consider how or why that other person sees things the way that they do. To teach, you need to start from where a person's understanding of a matter is at the moment and help them progress to understand what they need to. Of course, the Lord Jesus was such a fantastic example of a teacher. And I was thinking about reading the passage, where they bring the woman caught in adultery in to him to test him out and see how he's going to handle this situation. And I love to contrast what he did, what he taught in this situation, compared to how he responded to the Pharisees, someone like that. The Pharisees, the people who were supposed to know, who were well educated, he was really tough on. And what he expected of them was that they understood the major principles of faith in God. Big things, big issues, and he expected of them that they would be knowledgeable and that they would be teaching other people the right things. But when it came down to the end of this passage in John, and all that's left is him and this woman, what did he teach her? Did he query her about, the philosophy of, faith in God and all that kind of thing, and, how she was conducting herself as a teacher and leading people and all those sort of things? No. One simple thing that she needed to do in her situation was just to stop sinning. And that's a key, is each person needs to learn the next step for them. And the next step for every single one of us is different to the next step for the rest of us, for every single other one of us. And so a really important perspective, concept in teaching is teaching the next step to each person. And one thing that grieves me is that our school teachers have so many children in the classroom, they don't have time to work with each student and to help them with what their next step is. It helps if you speak in a language that the student can understand, not the language you like teaching in. Many teachers like big words and technical terms. I think many teachers like to look clever. Students need to progress at a rate in steps of a size that they can cope with, not that the teacher wants to skip along at. These things are just a few examples, a simple list, but I found that if you do these things, that pretty much anybody can learn anything. Am I crazy? Albert Einstein said, "If you can't explain it simply, you don't understand it well enough yourself." Really? He went even further than that. He said, "If you can't explain it to a six-year-old, you don't understand it yourself." I recently read about a guy who was into the science of calculating how big and long and everything helicopter rotor blades need to be to keep the helicopter in the air. When they first invented helicopters, working that out was crazily complex. Was really, really difficult. But what's happened since then is that they've understood the process better and better and better, and working it out has become simpler and simpler and simpler. And it's much easier to work out now than what it was when they first started. And this coincides perfectly with what Einstein was saying, just as a simple example. Can teaching really work like that? Can all of us learn almost anything? Yes. And I found one of the biggest barriers to us learning is that we don't realise that we can learn certain things. What's the potential of our teaching? Let's take, for example, a parent, say a mum. I love Proverbs 31. I never read to us verses 1 to 9, and that's what I want to think about this morning. If I just start reading at the end of Proverbs, chapter 31, the words of King Lemuel, the utterance which his mother taught him. This is the king that his mother was teaching. The mother was teaching the future king how to be a good king. Awesome. This woman is shaping the future of her nation. I think that's fairly important. I think that has quite huge consequences. Just who and what are you shaping, mums? And dads? And grandparents? And uncles and aunties? We don't know what the potential is of the people that we are shaping with our encouragement, the things we teach and pass on to young people. I said at the beginning that potential of us doing a good job of this is huge. One of the phenomena I've experienced is people who believe that it's best not to teach, but to allow particularly children to learn by experience. Peter had a fantastic experience when she was at Teachers College many years ago, the first time she started at Teachers College, living with a family who were allowing their children to learn by experience. She learnt that when she came down to breakfast in the morning, she did not get dressed in her day clothes. She got dressed in clothes that you were easy to wash, because the chaos at the breakfast table was something to be experienced. But the kids were learning something. Just don't think it was very good, whatever they were learning. Why would parents think this? I think some people don't want to take on the responsibility. When you take on the responsibility of teacher, then you have some responsibility for what your students may do or whatever, or it reflects on you. Somebody might come back and ask you questions about it. Are they scared of being wrong? I think one of the most important things you need to teach others is that it's okay to find out that you're wrong. And you can apologise to others without too much shame. I'll never forget when a Bible college teacher apologised to us. It took him a while to get out the words. I was wrong. But we're all learning together. And definitely we need to share this with our kids, that we're not teaching them because we're perfect. We're not their parents because we're always right. But and it's okay to be wrong, and we learn from that and we continue on. Have parents who think this way been intimidated? One of the tactics used against Christians is people who say that we're brainwashing our children. And I think that has made many parents hesitant to teach their children unreservedly, full on, because we know that they need to. In our hearts, we know that ultimately they need to make their own choice to follow the Lord. Atheists and evolutionists especially say this, trying to get us not to teach our children Christianity. But this is what's known as a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we don't teach our children about any particular field, they're not likely to take it up. And that has no bearing on whether that particular thing is true or not. So whether it's electronics or a sport or an art, anything at all, if it's left to random chance, the take-up rate of any particular one thing is relatively low. There's so many choices out there in everything. It's exactly the same with your faith. The choices are myriad and huge, and what you can follow. If somebody's going to understand any one of them, they've got to be taught, they've got to learn about how it works. Then, and only then, can they make an objective choice. Ignorance does not enable you to make an objective choice. A recent study, which made me laugh, was a study into if parents follow a particular belief system, how likely are their children to continue with that belief system? The least likely belief system that children were likely to follow on in was atheism. Okay, the supposed paragon of impartiality, of objectivity, is the least likely one that children will continue to follow. Interesting, the most likely, in other words, the best taught, maybe, is Hinduism. That surprised me. I do not believe in the philosophy of allowing people to learn by living. Life is a harsh teacher. We're currently experiencing, for example, the consequences of not teaching our children self-discipline. And we let them into a car and they go and kill themselves or kill other people. And, you know, we don't need to spend hours and hours and hours and years learning how to be drivers. We need to learn how to be responsible people. And then when we get behind the wheel of a car, like all of us oldies did, you know, for some of us, our whole learning to drive experience consisted of a drive around the block with the local police officer or something like this, and he said, yep, no worries, here's your license. Okay, we need to learn responsibility. Life is a harsh teacher. Life does not love you, and it won't protect you from challenges that are too big. Life throws you in at the deep end. Okay, and the consequences are often terrible, terrifying, and too late. So we need teachers, because teachers help us to learn gradually. We are gradually exposed to more and more things that we're hopefully we can cope with the situation and it doesn't get out of hand, and we can learn the principles without disastrous consequences. Many people don't set out to teach. If you ask them, they'll explain something to you, but they don't see it as part of their responsibility to make sure that you learn. And that's been my experience in the workplace. A lot of people are willing to answer questions. Some people are not even willing to answer questions. They just want to get on with their work and they want you to go away. I know my brothers got sick to death of me and my questions. It's not just caught, it also has to be taught. Does the example of our behaviour matter? Of course it does. Absolutely. You have to be authentic. Or as people get close to you and get to know you, they can see right through you. I have a little saying about parenting, that when you lie to your children, you're just teaching your children how to lie. Because your children know you. You know, for a little while you might trick them with the lie, but they got memories like elephants. And, you know, later on, when they see how you're behaving and what you're doing, they remember what you said, and they know when it doesn't gel. So there's no point in lying to your children. The Word of God is full of examples of teaching and instruction. In Exodus 4, the Lord taught Moses what to say to Pharaoh. Later in Exodus, Moses was to teach the people the laws of the Lord. People weren't just going to pick up the laws of the Lord by osmosis or something like that. You know, they're not just going to suck it all up. We need to be taught. I love Deuteronomy 6, verses 6 to 7, where the Lord says, "And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up." It goes on to talk about them, writing them on your forehead and on your doorposts, and all these things, going to an extreme to explain the importance of soaking yourself in the word of the Lord. Jesus was known as the teacher and put a lot of time into deliberate teaching. And he taught different groups, different things in different ways. Such a wonderful example of a teacher. The only example that he's no good for is teaching how to be humble and recover from mistakes, because you don't know everything. Okay, so that's one lesson we're not going to learn from the Lord. He was very humble, but he didn't make any mistakes. Over 100 references to teaching and instructing in the scriptures. The Lord doesn't say just to model these things to others. He says to teach and to instruct. It is important to be the things that you're teaching. What can we teach? Because I can hear many people saying, "Whoa, hang on a minute. You know, I'm not that kind of a person." There are many, many things that we can teach, even things that we may think are really simple. Don't people already know that? You can say about a lot of things, but increasingly in our society, the answer is no. People don't already know these things. People, things that we take for granted, increasingly people don't know. People are so distracted with non-practical things nowadays that they don't even know the basic essentials of life. In many countries, and as our nation is rejecting Christianity and exploring other beliefs and so on, the things we take for granted are becoming revolutionary to others. Just as a little example, we did a parenting course at a previous, there was a parenting course at a previous church that we attended. It was very rigid and structured in how it taught parents to be good parents. You must feed your baby at set intervals, and so on and so on. Peter and I thought, wow, this is a bit over the top. You know, you don't need to be this tough on yourself in trying to be good parents. And yet, so many of the other young parents at the church were saying how wonderful they found this. Why was that essentially? Eventually we realized that compared to the chaos that their parenting had been before, this was really, really good. Okay? People are often not in a good place nowadays. They don't know how to do life, and they're struggling even with simple things. When I was involved in the Fusion Australia Connections program, working with Year 9 students at risk of dropping out of the education system and getting into a life of crime, the project was very successful. And yet the things we taught these troubled young people were so simple. That's what blew me away. We taught them that they matter. Our motto was build people up, help people grow, because people matter. We taught them that they are intelligent and that they can learn new things. These are kids that were always in trouble, so they were regarded as hopeless. As an example that they can learn, we taught simple vocational skills in woodworking, motor mechanics, computer building, and hairdressing. Yes, computer building. We taught them how to make new friends and get to know people. It's amazing the barriers that exist when someone comes into a new situation, like when you first come into a workplace or whatever, how many barriers there are to someone just getting to know people, and how easy it is then to fall in with the bad crowd, because the people who want you to do the wrong things are very accepting. Very welcoming. So simple, but so amazing. The name of the programs was Connections. And people need to be able to connect. Students need to be able to connect with teachers. So there's that relationship thing, the language thing that you're using, the students being able to understand what you're saying, things like that. We can all be involved in teaching of some kind, and we don't even have to be a teacher. The Alpha Course, for example, doesn't want you to teach. The video covers the material and you just facilitate the discussion. And what is taught in the videos just naturally progresses from meeting to meeting. And you're just there to help people talk about it and to feel comfortable talking and to explore ideas. You can enable people to be taught without teaching a thing. Hospitality. Teaching people how to be hospitable, how simple it is to have a simple meal in your home and people feel welcome to come along and have a good time. It's just such a simple thing, and yet the impact can be profound because of the opportunities you get through it. We can teach the Word of God, but we can teach life skills. We can teach history. We can tell stories for eons of time. And the era that this book was written over, thousands of years, things were learnt from stories. The Bible is full of stories about people and what God does with those people and all those sort of things. And that's how things are learnt. Can you tell stories? If you can tell stories, can you read stories? You can be a teacher. If you're good at reading stories or telling stories, which, you know, I can remember rat bags at school who were fantastic at telling stories, you can be a great teacher. I know that taking on a role of teaching is a big responsibility, but it's really worth it, and I urge you to step up to the plate in whatever form that may be. When the Lord asks us to take up a challenge, he promises to help. With Moses, in Exodus 4, he was just breaking it to Moses, the enormity of what he wanted Moses to do. And I kind of like how the Lord sort of gradually rolled it out, so it just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Firstly, he had to go back to the people of Israel. Whew, what a challenge. Yep, okay, but he got his head around that one okay. And next thing you know, he had to go and talk to Pharaoh. And Moses is sort of reeling a bit by this point. And he realizes he's going to have to do these miracles, and that really shakes him. But then he's going to have to tell Pharaoh that he's got to let all his slaves go. And this, and you know, Moses is, you know, had it by this point. He's out of it, and he says, you know, I can't do this. And I love what the Lord says to him. Now, therefore, go, and I will be with your mouth and teach you what you shall say. The Lord gives us a lot of challenges in life, you know, and whether you're, when you're struggling to rise to the challenge, or whether it's being a dad or mum or whatever it is, the Lord promises to help us in that process. So when you find that what the Lord has given you to do is a challenge, answer is always go back to God and seek his help with doing a good job of this thing that you're challenged with. That's the process. The process is not the Lord gives you a job and you go and do a great job of it. Wrong. Absolutely wrong. That's not what the Lord wants at all. And yet, I think that's what we think the process should be. The process is the Lord gives you a job. You look at the challenge of the job. You go back to the Lord and you say, Lord, look at this job that you've given me to do. It's huge. I need help. Of course, the Lord says. That's what it's all about. So then you and the Lord get on with the job. The Lord Jesus himself in Matthew chapter 23, Paul in Romans 2, which we can all remember it because Dave's just been through it, James in chapter 3 of James, they warn us about some of the dangers in approaching the role of a teacher inappropriately. Pride, doing it to big note yourself. Okay, that's what Jesus is mainly talking about in Matthew 23, about the Pharisees and so on. They were just filled with pride, and being a teacher was a status symbol. Okay? That's not why we're being asked to step up to it. It's one thing I noticed was an issue as all of my family and so on have been going through uni, was some teachers that have got this massive ego and teach very arrogantly. And some are extremely difficult to learn from because of the way they go about it. Hypocrisy. Teaching that one thing is the right thing to do, but living life another way yourself. It's never going to work. It's not going to work in this Christian sense. Okay, it may work in uni where you just need to learn the information, whether the lecturer lives it or not or whatever. Who really cares? Passers make degrees, I think. They say, don't they? So as long as you get through it at the end, you get your ticket at the end. And for some people, that's mainly what they're concerned about. Okay, here in this place, it's not what God's concerned about. God is very much concerned about what's going on in here and whether we're living what we're learning. And so, you know, the required qualifications of teachers and here are that we are what we're teaching and that the Lord is looking at the attitudes of our heart, not just the words that are coming out of our mouth. We must not teach in error is the third one. We must work hard to teach the truth well. We must prepare well, educate ourselves well, pray well about what we're going to be teaching, because it's a huge responsibility. James warns us in chapter 3, verse 1, not to step into this teaching role casually, because those who stand up to teach will be judged more strictly. Fantastic. Really looking forward to that bit. Okay. But what a disaster if nobody stands up to take up the role. Absolute disaster. We need to teach with confidence and authority. The Lord Jesus was just fantastic. It didn't matter who he was standing in front of at the time. He taught with confidence and complete authority. We need to teach that way as well. It's difficult, but if we don't have the confidence, it means that we need to learn more of our material. But I think we need to have a conviction of how necessary what we're doing is. Because we also need to teach with humility. I don't know everything. I've never claimed that. And I hope that I never come across as being arrogant when I stand up to teach. Even the Lord Jesus, even though he did know everything, and he knew the people that he was talking to at the time that he was teaching, he knew them inside out. He knew them better than they knew themselves. He still taught with humility, and it was just awesome. How can you teach with authority and yet humility? You can. They're not contradictory. I hope I've encouraged you to take up the challenge of teaching in some way, shape, or form today. I hope I've helped you to see that it is something the Lord has called us to do for the sake of others around us, especially future generations. You're taking on a challenge and a responsibility when you step up to teach. And I don't just mean just here, I mean in everything we do. But the Lord promises to help you in this awesome challenge. Please pray for everyone in their role as a teacher. And if you have such a role, let others know that you've got the role and ask them to pray for you in that role. Let's pray. Lord, we can all think of many, many people in our lives who have taught us wonderful things. Lord, the people who have taught me about you and what the Lord Jesus has done for me. What awesome things that changed the whole path of my life. Lord, when I remember a science teacher at school that was inspirational, and he set major directions for my life too. Lord, when I think of parents and aunts and uncles and brothers and sisters who have taught well, Lord, I'm so very thankful and I pray that you will help us to care enough about the people around us that we will teach them. Thank you, Lord, that you are such a great example in this. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.